according to Emmanuel. All right. Let's go to Pastor Kenny, you're welcome. Let's go to Psalm 92. And then we're going to do some. One of the things I do in this meeting is that can you put off those things so that you won't be making noise? All right, thank you. When I'm teaching all this, I'm trying to also learn at the same time too. To be honest with you, it's so beautiful to teach the word of God, make things clearer. The righteous are flourish like a palm tree. It shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. The trouble is too much. Boladi, the trouble is too much. Yes, that's a bit. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the court of our God. Next verse. It shall still bear fruit in old age. It shall be fresh and flourishing. Let's read this verse in Amplified Classic. Let's read it together. Let's can we read it together, everybody? Let's go. The uncompromisingly righteous, what will he do? He shall flourish like the palm tree. Let's look at what is in the bracket. He'll be long-lived, he'll be stately, he'll be upright, he'll be useful and fruitful. You know why I love this translation? It's amazing because it helps us to see when Bible talks about palm tree, what does it mean? So, can I ask you a question? Who is the righteous person? We know that those who believe in Jesus are righteous, right? Right? Are we sure of that? Then he said, they shall flourish like the palm tree. That means they be long-lived. How many of you want to live long? Thank you. They be stately. They be dignified. Then he said, they be upright, they be useful, and they be fruitful. Now, let's look at the next word. What did he say? Let's do it together. They shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Majestic. Okay, you can see the picture of that tree. Majestic, stable, durable, and incorruptible. Give us the picture of the cedar tree. Okay, you can see it's actually majestic. It's unlike other kind of trees. That's cedar tree. Praise God. Whoa. At the end of our lives, may our lives be like this in Jesus' name. Now, I want to do something today. And this will really help us today. This what I'm going to teach today will help us tremendously. I want to break this. Give us in NKJV, Psalm 92, verse 12 again. Let me do this. Help me to receive this. Bloody, can you put me down a little? Just a little down, a little bit here. It's too loud for me. I'm the only one here. Just a little. Can you do something with me, everybody? Are you here? Can we think like this? The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. It shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Next verse. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the court of our God. Next verse. They shall still bear fruit in old age. Can we do something? Please listen. Can I get your attention? There are two major words there. There's fruitful, there is flourishing. Right? Right? Fruitful and flourishing. Can I beg you to see the word flourishing different from the word fruitful? When you look at a tree, can we, just to explain better, can we see the flourishing as the tree itself doing well or being well? Can we see the fruit as what it's doing to make people to have impact? Does that make some sense? So we're going to divide it into two. The flourishing is just not just like now. Look at this. Can you look up? Everybody, can you look up? You are doing business. You are fruitful in business. That means you are making money. You are having customers. But when we say you are flourishing, that means you yourself, as a business person, you are thriving, you are knowing, you are learning, you are growing, you are becoming better. Because it's who you are that brings forth the fruit. A good tree brings forth what? Good fruit. Am I making some sense? I want to make it some sense. Let's do something more now. Give us verse 12. Give us verse 12. I'm making this clear. Now, can you look up, everybody? The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. You know, palm trees, they have fruits. Am I right? Am I right? They have fruit. But cedar in Lebanon, they don't have fruit. The cedar, we don't eat its fruit. Right? They don't sell its fruit. What they actually sell about cedar is itself. So, that means that I can be a cleaner on the road and still flourish. Cleaning is my fruit path. Who I am is that if they put 5 cleaners here that are cleaning the road, among my other cleaners, they will see that I'm growing, I am learning, I'm getting better. Not just what I'm doing. If you are not careful, we confuse what we do with who we are. Let's go to Psalm 1. Let me make it clearer. That's where we're going to work on today. Who you are and what you do. Look at verse 1. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the one who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Now, can you look up, everybody? Next verse. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law, what does he do? Now, why is he doing that? Look at next verse. Now, media, do you know what to do about making to make capital letter? Thank you. Now, see that word, he shall be. So let's make that word be capital. Planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in season, surrender with that, and whatsoever he does. Capital does. So you see, he shall be. He shall do. Is that making some sense? So when I'm becoming like a tree planted by the rivers of water, I'm bringing forth my fruit in the season, I am flourishing. Whatever thing I'm doing, because I myself, I'm getting upgraded. I'm getting better. This is where the problem is in Nigeria. Nigeria has a problem, our society. They think that whatever you have determines your flourishing or your fruitfulness. That's why people who are not better off on their own, they just want to secure money. Now, you cannot get somebody who is decent, professional, who is walking up his ladder, becomes well paid, making money, and you can't compare him to that person who just takes computer and takes somebody's money in Atlanta, Georgia. They both have money, and they may look as if they are being fruitful, but this one is flourishing, that other one is not flourishing. You see, Nigerian picture of flourishing is that you have money, you drive good cars, you fly around. No. From this point of Bible reading, the flourishing is who you are, what you are becoming. The fruitfulness is what you do. Whatever it does, I prosper. It will prosper. Okay. In our culture here, prosperity is accidental, destined. You are doing well. Ajay, Awole. You know? But in the Bible sense here, is who you are doing something. I keep seeing this picture of Joseph. Look at Joseph. Joseph was thriving, flourishing as a person. That's why when he got to the house of Potiphar, he could do things that could make him go higher and bear more fruit for his oga. When he went to prison, he didn't diminish in his upgrading himself. So he knew what to do. For me personally, I think our greatest challenge is that we become flourishing. If you plant a tree and it's doing well and it's rising up, don't be surprised. Fruit will come. Am I right? Fruit will come. Am I correct? Is that Pastor Mrs. Akintaro? Welcome. I'm trying to look. You're welcome. I didn't know you'd want. So what we need to do now is to learn to really be flourishing, and then we will do fruitfulness. Is that okay? Am I making some sense? So let's go back to Psalm 92, and we're going to work on that today. We're going to see some verses. Okay. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. It shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Next verse. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the court of our God. Shall flourish, they themselves. They shall still bear fruit. See, they shall still bear fruit. Now, if you plant, If you plant, even corn, if you plant corn in a well-fertilized ground, it will not bring forth fruit in the first 6 months. Am I right? But when you look at that corn and the one that is on the dry ground, one looks flourishing than the other. This one that is well nourished will bear better corn than that other one. Am I making some sense? Am I starting too technical? Who you are and what you do. So who you are is where you flourish. What you do is what we call fruitfulness. But if the tree is not well, it can't bear fruit well. All right, let's go now. Let's go to Mark 4. This is beautiful. This is the challenge we have in our Christian life. In fact, it was 2 weeks ago I just saw this in my Bible. I didn't see it before. That's why I'm teaching on it so that we can get it clear now. Mark chapter 4, verse 29, 30, 31. Let's go. Mark 4. Okay, give us verse 26 first. Okay. I want you to look at this. And it said, are we there? We're going to see these two parables. The kingdom of God is as if a man should what? Should do what? Scatter seed. Where? On the ground. And what happened to him next? And he should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. Next verse. For the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head. After that, the full grain in the head. Look at next verse. But when the grain ripens. Now, can you look up? See that word grains? Not a tree. It's grains, not a tree. When you plant grains, usually 3, 4, 5, 6 months. At it grow, abeko. Am I correct? Cassava? No, not cassava. Maize takes about how many weeks? How many months? 3 months. Which other one that's like that too? Sorghum. Usually around, if it's becoming 1 year, it'd be a pion. All right. So it's grain. And if you notice, it grows yafun yafun. That's one parable. Let's go to next parable. Next parable. Next verse. Then he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? See, he just finished one parable now talking about grains. He plants grain. They grow. He harvests them. But look at next verse. It's like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground, is what? Smaller than all the seed of the earth. Next verse. But when it is sown, that seed sown, it grows up. And not that it's fruitful. Not fruitful. It becomes greater than all herbs and shoot out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. Now, you see, the first parable deals with planting grains, right? And the grain matures and you harvest it. You have plenty of grain to sell. But the second parable does not mention fruit. It mentions planting, but when it is sown, it grows up, that one seed, and becomes greater than all herbs, and shoot out, just like that cedar wood, shoot out large branches that even the birds of the air, so you can see there are two types of this parable now. There's the parable where you plant seed, it multiplies back. But that's the parable where the seed is not something you plant and reap. It becomes something. Now, I submit to you Deceit in the first parable is the promises of God you act upon and you reap a harvest of miracle. But the second story is not something like promise of God. It's you yourself as a seed that God is now developing to become big, greater. Don't you like that? Large branches. And that bears, other restless animals will come and hide under you. You know, I don't know about you. That makes all the difference in the world. You know, we can just keep on doing karakata in business. Karakata, karakata, buy this. Or you can actually develop as a business person. And you become so good, so skillful, that if they take away everything you have now, you have the wherewithal to start again. Are you hearing me now? So, for instance, let me give an example in medical science. Dr. Ariba is there. Now, he's sitting there. Now, he spent several donkey years going through training. That's who he has become. It's not about stethoscope. You can take it away from him. He'll find another way to find the answer. Huh? You can open a new hospital, he knows what to do. But a quack person can have stethoscope, can have hospital. Huh? And Yahoo Yahoo boy can steal money, build a hospital, he keep it with everything, but it's not the kind of person that would treat a patient there. Am I making some sense? Okay, so let's write these two things down, if you're writing down. Number one, flourishing is a kind of a person I'm becoming. Flourishing is a kind of a person I am becoming. Fruitfulness is the kind of result and impact I'm having. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, so what is flourishing? Flourishing is a kind of person I am becoming. It grows up and becomes. Okay, let me give another example. I'm trying to give it from different angle. You know, somebody can pray for money now. Lord, I just need money to pay my school fees. How much? 100,000. And God will answer your prayer. But somebody else has finished school. He needs a car to do certain business. Car is about around 10, 8 million. And you pray too, and they will get a car. The difference between them, God answers both of their prayers. He gave them the fruit of their prayers, but the first person has not yet has become a second person. Are you hearing me? Like our children, we buy toys for them. That's all they could. They prosper at toys level. Are you hearing me? They prosper, they get that car, that tall car, drive it around in the parlor. They won't go on an expressway. they do. But as they get older, as they get better, you keep on raising that. I'm emphasizing this evening, practical things now, that I must look at who I'm becoming and what I'm getting. Say that with me. Who I'm becoming and what I'm getting. All right. Who am I becoming? Am I becoming a better version of myself? Am I becoming a better version of myself? Or, second one is, am I doing much more? That's why I love this picture of a tree. Hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah. Now, let's make it easier again. I'm trying to break it down so that we can understand. If you look at grains, corn, you can cultivate 10 hectares of grains and you collect grains from there. When you plant one, you don't see one. You see many, many grains. Am I right? Several grains. And you can sell that, make money from there, do more. But listen, when it comes to your life, it's one seed. And we are now making our work to you for you to become a large tree that is becoming better in your ways. One time, how many of you heard of Henry Ford. I don't know if you've heard of Henry Ford. A man called Henry Ford. We invented motor car we are using today. What I'm dealing with today, and we really help you tremendously. They ask him that, we know you are rich. If we take away everything from you, what will you do? He said, you can take away everything I have now. Give me 5 years, I will have all that plus more. You know why? The person himself knows what to do. For instance, if something breaks down, I know what to do to get back to where I should be. So, what should I be laboring for? I should be laboring to become greater version of myself, because different challenges and different issues will come up, and I will need a higher level of myself to be able to solve that problem more. Because life will be offering bigger, greater challenges to me. And God will help me, but my better version, God will help me better there. Am I making some sense? Like, if I'm a baby, my mother will give me Cerelac, but if I grow older, I will eat better food. Same mother, but different dealings because of my growth. Is that clear? I want you to be passionate today. Not just carrying on with life. You know, come back, do something, come back, do something, come back, do something. But are you? Now, I know what you are thinking. Pastor, can we do anything like that in this country like this? Can we really? God, what about God does? Wait. Please listen. I'm trying to make this as clear as possible. I can plant grains. Weather may be bad, and I will not reap so much. Are you hearing me? I planted my corn, and ojorotobe, walabele. But when I'm dealing with a tree, it's not about the rain. We don't worry too much about weather concerning trees, but we worry more about weather concerning planting grains. Because if the weather is not too good, within 3 months, we are sunk. But if it is a tree, I have some trees around my area. They never travel. Have you ever seen a tree traveling? That's in Cartoon Network. That's in real life. They never travel. They are growing green now. 2-3 months ago, things were very dry. Some of them even dropped all their leaves. I saw just looking tombolo. And they never sent a message to me one day, Reverend, pray for me that I could move to Lagos. They never did. And you know what? They are there. And small time rain comes, they come out again and blossom. Why? They are not grains that have 3 months. They have actually many years. Am I making some sense? That's why he compared us to palm tree and to cedar, not to corn and grains. We are going to have corns and grains as we believe God for blessings and victory and breakthroughs. Those are grains. Now, I want to answer it now. Sometimes you pray for something, God may not give you as much as you want. Sometimes God may give you as much as you want and more than you want. It doesn't matter. He's watching how you are growing as a person. Are you becoming a better tree? Because, you see, this year, rain may fall heavily. Next year, it may not fall heavily. This year, it may be too hot. Next year, maybe. But the trees have determined to stay and live and bring forth. And amazingly, when it comes to the area of trees, you see, when you carry corn, listen, this is why I want to shoot Nigeria. Nigeria, this is where our problem. We say people are getting miracles, but they are not changing. They're having miracles. Nigeria, we're having, but why are they coming to church? They're not hearing the word of God. We mess it up. You see, moment you finish with grain, the grain stump doesn't grow anymore. You're not farmers. You never grew up in. The moment you plant corn, the moment you reap it, what happened to it again? Start getting dry, brown. It can't live long. It's only that moment that it's just blessed. And then you reap the harvest, you take it home. Now, when we come to church and just want to see God in action, God blessing us, and he will bless us, he'll do things for us. But that cannot make us better as a person. Wow. Miracles can never make you better as a person. It can only meet your need. Now, somebody said, but miracles help me now. Now, you have to be able to see what to do with miracles to make yourself better. Let me give an example. Last Sunday, a young man entered my office. Listen to this story. I haven't did interview with him for service. I said, I want to see you. I said, sit down. He said, I'm going to the academy, NDA, Defense Academy, this Friday. But I want to share my testimony with you. I said, I'm listening. He said, you know what? I wanted to join the Nigerian Army. And I went through the medicals. And they said, I have enlarged heart. Are you listening? I have what? Enlarged heart. So they disqualified me. They said, I should go home. They're not qualified. So he said, he was coming to church for third service, youth and singles. So he said, one day my wife was teaching and mentioned about healing, James 5, and he was not in church, but he was listening online. I hope you're following me now. He was listening online. So he said, my wife said, let's pray. I'll pray for you if you are sick in anybody. She had enlarged at hospital, medical. Military said, don't join. So he said, he prayed, he did what Reverend Messi says he should do. He did that. And he said, after that, he said, let me go to hospital. I think that same week or week after. Let me go check this miracle. He got to the hospital. They checked through it. They looked through him. They said, you don't have a large heart. Your heart is not enlarged. He was enlarged. That's why they sacked him from the military. He couldn't join. So he got home. He said, now let me show you now the growth. If this miracle works like this, it can work for other things. So he told himself, I'm trying to do my professional exam. I've been failing this particular one. It'll get 20, 22, 23, 24. So he said, if God can do the enlarged heart, he can make me pass this exam too. So he prayed about that one too. When he prayed, he got 84% or 82%. So after getting that, he said to himself, well, why not? I can go back to army. He wanted to join army as a combatant. Now he's passed his professional exam. He said, let's go back there. So he went for the medicals and they couldn't find anything wrong with him. Now, this Friday, he's going to go and report in school. So I was just watching him. Why did I bring that testimony up? Why? He began to do things accordingly. And that's what we call flourishing. It got a miracle, fruit. But what do you do with your fruit? How do you go further with it? So, who you are becoming is so important. Hallelujah. Have you noticed that? When you go to school, the moment you pass very well, they take you to another class. Why? A bigger class, a more complicated class. That's what we call growth. So the more you pass that, the more you go further. Now, the kingdom of God, now look at Nigeria now, like I was talking about. In Nigeria, our problem is that all our pastors, including myself, we preach too much about grains. Believe God. You see miracles. God bless you. And then you have grains and you come and give testimony. The God of Rock Foundation, the God of Trem, the God of RCCG has done it again. But it's just giving you grains and you eat that. But after you collect the grain from the thing, you sabale. Am I right? I've seen pastors say, if you know what I put in his life, how could he have turned back like that? I said, It's God that makes the seed grow. Are you hearing me? But then, what matters is now what you do with your life. If you look at a tree, unlike grains, when you pull out corn from the grain, or from the grain from the stuff, you cut it down, you clear it. But when you take a fruit from a tree, the tree is still there. And it will keep on bearing fruit over and over and over and over again. I want to make some sense differently now. Does that make some sense? So, with that mentality today, can we go to our teaching now? Pastor, you have a teaching sense. So, who I am becoming and what I am doing. Go back to Psalm 1 again. Okay, Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinner, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Next verse. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Now, the result is that he shall be not a piece of corn. He shall be like a tree. I'm a pastor. I've watched people who come to church for grains. Are you hearing me? They collect grains, but there's no definite thing in their own lives. They go away. But those who become like this, that's where the difference be. What you do with the word of God. Somebody can open the Bible, get a miracle, and that's where I get it's grain. But somebody else can say, I want to be like a tree. Now, when you become a tree, you stay more perpetually and you get fruit that lasts forever. Am I making some sense? Is that clear? Do we get that? Okay, let's look at how to be that. It shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in the season. Listen, not wither. Whatever it does shall prosper. That what it's doing, we call it fruit. It's becoming like a tree, we call it flourishing. So are you really flourishing? I know what you are thinking. When I say, are you flourishing? Are you looking at your circumstances? Are you looking at your pocket? Are you looking at your marriage? No. You go. You see, your quality of thinking, your quality of decisions, they depend upon who you are. There is no car accident, there's driver's accident. Hear what I just said? You know, you see, cars just don't get out of hand. My wife won't like this one. Let me give an example. My wife will say, that thing is not working, like happened last time. I said, it's bound to work. My wife said, are you saying that? I said, it's bound to work. It's made to work. He said, it's not working. He said, it's like as if I'm accusing her of lying. I said, no, it's bound to work. It's been designed that way. He said, it's not working. Sorry. She refused to put on the switch. She forgot to put on the switch. So it can't work. You know, I'm not attacking you. It's just that. That's the way it is. It's supposed to work. Are you hearing me? For instance, I dropped this thing down. I dropped it, it's not going down. Pastor, it's not working. No, it's supposed to work. Someone must be holding this thing up because there's a lot of gravity. So, what I'm saying is this. Are you changing yourself? You can't change your finances if you are not flourishing inside yourself. So, Pastor, how can I become a tree that whatever I do will prosper? Let's go. Are we ready? Now, come and see the importance now. Now, listen, everybody, can I just hold on? Let me get a chair. All right. Let me get a plastic chair. Okay, let me use my chair. I want something that is low. Okay, all right, let me use my chair. If you are going to be like a tree like this, look at this verse again. Psalm 1, verse 1. Look at the very first thing in that verse. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Now, can you look up, everybody? See that verse. That chapter starts with the negative. Not, nor, nor. If you are going to be flourishing, your very first duty is to separate yourself from failing. You see, a student that goes to school and does not determine to go beyond 45-50% will never do well in school. That student must separate himself from failing. You can never have somebody's marriage crashing if that person wants not to fail in marriage. Then she be ready, or he be ready to do anything to make it happen. If you start working in a place and you don't want to lose that job, so you have to separate yourself from everything that will make you be a loser at work. That's what we call holiness. Holiness means separation. So look at this verse. If you see something in that verse, look at the progress in that verse. Look at the progress. Look at the progress in that verse. It said, blessed is the man who walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand, nor sit. There are three verbs there. There are three verbs. What's the first verb? It's walking, right? It's walking, it's walking, it's walking, it's walking. Then what has happened there? He stand in the path of sinners. Then after a while, he sit down. He's not making progress. He's not flourishing anymore. You see, you can't grow a seed in the midst of weed, and that seed will be far better off. Farmers always go to farm and do what? Notice, they plant seed once, but they continually weed. Am I right? Am I making some sense? Somebody said, my wife and I were watching him yesterday, very lovely. That's something he said. If you want to be rich, don't take counsel from poor people. Sounds really weird. If you want to have a great relationship, don't take counsel from a single 19-year-old. Are you hearing me? So, you see, from this verse, if you are going to flourish and be fruitful, you have to start distancing yourself from certain kind of people. We read yesterday to say, if you are among five alcoholics, you'll be the sixth one. Did you hear what I just said? Did you hear what I just said? If your friends are alcoholic and there are five of them, very soon you'll be the sixth person. This is where many of us can't flourish very well. Because flourishing requires a kind of environment, kinds of ground. You cannot have terrible ground and grow fantastic trees there. You can't grow seed over here. So, number one, if you are going to flourish, from this verse telling us now, how to become like that kind of tree, you have to start separating yourself from whatever is not going to help you. See, you cannot walk, you will stand, you will sit. There are three types of failures there: ungodly, sinners, and scornful. You start choosing who you are going to keep company with. Many of you are praying, God, please help me. God can't help you in that kind of condition. No matter what I put into you, if you're on a clay soil, you won't grow. I mean, you ask me to treat your finger, and every day you get a hammer and smash it. No matter what I put in there, it won't work. You keep on bleeding. Makes some sense? Now, when I say ungodly, many of you are thinking like somebody rascal, smoking beer and drinking cigarettes. Remember my story? But, you know, all those cancers, all those ideas on TV, on film, on video, and all those things you are hearing that don't have ways of moving you forward. You're not listening to Christians. You are listening to unbelievers. You are hearing your friends who are going nowhere. You never see them open the Bible. All they watch is African magic. You are a loser. You're going to be the next loser like them. You can flourish as a Christian like that. I know I'm sounding harsh, but you know what? How many of you women, you go to market, and when they put tomato on the ground, don't you pick them? Am I right? Have you noticed something? When you go to market, sometimes my wife will go and buy plantain. They put plantain together, and they put the bad one along with it. Like I told the house girl recently, go and buy me plantain. And came back, I saw the front look nice. At the back, they put one looking like this. I said, yay, come on, come on. The world would like to offer you things like that. But woman, what do? You take out all those tomatoes, am I right? And then you say, Mama, I replace a leaf. Mama, I replace a leaf. Ah, that's a row. But say, Nani, Kulibel, Mirabayo, Ebanyokru, Abeko. Women, how many of you women do that? How many of you women do that? Thank you. Now, in the same way, start separating yourself. Sometimes when they are going to somebody, just say, excuse me, I want to go and eat. Just go. Are you hearing me? So, blessed is the man. See, that's the first thing he does. Not Bible reading first, not going to church. He starts cutting himself off from people that are not going to take him to where he's going. You cannot have a vibrant marriage and your friend has a crazy marriage and you are very close. Very soon you will join him or join her. Why? Why? Pastor, why? Why? Listen. The good cannot contaminate the bad, but the bad can contaminate the good. And you don't need 1,000 gallons to make water poisonous. If I take acid or bacteria, a drop, put it in the water, will you drink it? Oh, it is small. Chapter 15, 1 Corinthians. Let's go. I want to flourish. You know, there's one adage in Yoruba, Epo ne moru. Oh, you know. You know, praise the Lord. Are we still here? Let's find the verse 33. Okay, let's start from verse 32 to make it clear. Can you give us an NLT? And what value was there in fighting wild beasts? Those people of Ephesus, if there had been no resurrection from the dead, if there's no resurrection, follow now. There's no resurrection. Let's feast and drink, for tomorrow we die. If there's no tomorrow, there's going to hope resurrection. Let's eat and drink. Look at this verse. Fantastic. Don't be fooled by those who say such things. For bad company corrupts good manners. Now, I can't follow you home. I can't follow your phone. I can't bug your phone. No, my business. But if you are gambling away your money and say you have no savings, it's clear. You can't be engaging in gambling and thinking that you are losing money. You are saving for Baba Jebu. So, Pastor, what should I do? Dissociate Baba Jebu, go to court and divorce him. You know, some things you have to do. You have to just, I'm not going that way. Then you can go this way. Praise God, somebody. Am I making some sense this way? So, number one, see, if you are going to flourish, start separating yourself. Sometimes even from yourself. For instance, if you are going to live in peace, start separating yourself from the anxious you. The anxious you have been used to. You have to start cutting yourself away from that anxious you. And start renouncing that anxious you. If you've been lazy in your schoolwork, that's why they give you alarm and Nescafe and coffee so that you can bastardize that lazy, sleepy you. Are you aware? You get what I'm saying? So that's the first thing we must do. We must start renouncing and refusing to be what we used to be that's taking us nowhere. Am I making some sense? Let's go back to Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the path of sinners, nor sit on the seat of scornful. But, next verse, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law he meditates day and night. Can you look up everybody here? You see that camera there? There are different versions of them. This is GH3. That's GH2. That's GH4. We don't have that one yet. They look alike, but they are upgraded versions of it. We know what to do with that. We know where to go. We can go and buy from Amazon. You know your phone. You can go change for better version. Now, where do you go to get better version of yourself? You know where to get better food, don't you? Where do you go to get better set of yourself? You know, people say, Pastor, I wonder why things are not working. I wonder why I'm like this. You can actually get better version of yourself from the word of God. See, this guy, he put his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law, he meditates. You know why? The Bible is not just for reading devotionally. God didn't give this book so that you can just read some Bible, come to church. No! Let me explain this to you. Are you listening? When God made things, Genesis 1, are we here? I'm making it for you to get something clear. You see, when God made things, are we here? When God was making the birds of the air, he spoke into the air. Let the air be filled with birds. Am I right? Am I right? Second, when he was making fish of the sea, he spoke to the sea, bring forth fish. Am I right? When he wanted to make plants, he said, ground, bring forth. Now listen very carefully. Wherever God speaks to make something, whatever he made is sustained by that place where he made it from. When God said to the sea, fish, come out of water, plenty, the fish will only exist inside water. It's water that will give fish life. If he jump out of water, life is finished. God said to the ground, bring forth plants. If the plant say, I no longer like the soil, it's going to become firewood somewhere. When God said, atmosphere, be filled with air, be filled with birds. If birds refuse to fly in the air, it's no longer bird. It's a chameleon on the ground. Now, when God about to make human beings, what did he speak to? He didn't speak to the floor, to the air. He spoke to himself. Let us make man in our image. So the only way we can be sustained as man is to be connected with God. We can't be other. See, look at birds. I see them. I see these birds on the floor around my area. They just do like that. But you will never see the glory of a bird until it gets up from the floor and it spread out those wings and flap and you see them move like that. You just enjoy the atmosphere that you cannot do. Are you hearing me? Or look at fish in the water. They swim. It's like as if it's natural for them. Then our own naturalness is in God. Let us make man in our image. So, if I want to be sustained, that's why Jesus, when he, Pastor, we are from the ground. Yes, our body is from the ground. That's why we have to eat from the ground. Our body. But who we are, the real person, is from God. Let us make man in our image. So, God spoke us. So, we can only live on his speaking. Am I right? The atmosphere of fish is water. The atmosphere of birds is the air. Plant is the ground. Our own atmosphere is God. That's why Paul said, in him we live and move and have our being. So the only way to live well, if you want to live and upgrade yourself spiritually, emotionally, financially, you're going to have to get into the word of God to reinform you. Don't just be looking around you. First of all, get God's word into you. Let's see it. John 15, verse 7. Flourishing. He's saying the same thing over here. Look at it. If you abide in me, Like, if you connect yourself with me. See, when you read things like this, you know, sometimes what I'm going to say now may sound a little bit awful. But sometimes church can be the enemy of your progress. Huh? Church can be the enemy of your progress. People don't do well because they come to church. Huh? I tell you. You know, you can just come to church. And just because you come, that's all for you. Just like, how many of you remember those days? When we enter university, we think that we have arrived until the next semester result comes out. You know, remember, in secondary school, they have timetable, timetable. You enter university, there's no timetable that way. Nobody's ringing any bell. So you tell yourself, oh boy, I'm free, man. This next semester, and when you see F meta, what would you do? I said, university can actually make you worse because you enter there. Sometimes when you just come to church, you think you have arrived. You are okay. And then something worse about church that we also gather together so we can easily compare and contrast. If you have only one eye and everybody else is blind, who are you? King of the mountain. Praise the Lord. And when you buy one car, the pride goes to the next level. You know, in Nigeria, when you are going to church, you look at number of cars. You enter the hall and then the number of people. Abroad, you have to look at the car before you know how many people are inside because everybody comes with a car. The wife will come with a car, husband with a car. In Nigeria, when you have 10 people, you have 2 or 3 cars. So when you now get one car as a person in Nigeria, in the church, whether uncle gave you, whether God gave you, it doesn't matter. You drive to church, you feel. And the day you got 1 million, you can't. You know, you start looking at everybody else comparing. I had to kill that in me, coming to church. I had to kill that. That's why sometimes I dress like this. Because, you see, as a pastor, you are looking at me, I must look gorgeous, Italian shoes, right? And impress you. Like one woman, one day, she was the pastor's wife. She wore a particular dress, and a church member came to church wearing the same dress. She said, go back home and go and change. We can't wear the same thing. No true? Yeah. Huh? Hello? So, let us make the best use for our lives in church. Am I making some sense? That's why I don't do compare and contrast, CLA by. We will just finish ourselves. So you need to just see that we are in church in a process. We are in school. We are learning. We are growing. We are going to make the best. Don't go home and say, Pastor, if we pray, utiraka, utiraka la yemi. But some people are not buying cars because they are saving money for something else you don't know. Am I making some sense? I told you one story I had years ago that really blessed me. He said, there are 2 women. Early in the morning, they are taking their children to school. The first one, latest under in town. Her children are wearing designer's clothes. Their bags from UK. Their butter. When they press, it sings. Are you hearing me? Now listen. The second woman, average car, her children, average dress. They're not outstanding. And driving that model, not latest model of car, to work. The difference is this. The one, bling, was owing bank 10 million naira. The second one has 20 million fixed deposit. That's not bling. Who's richer among both? Who's richer? I know you know. Here is who look rich. That's rich. He that doesn't look rich, you are not rich. So you have to fake it before you make it. Abeko. That's why you can't afford to be comparing and contrasting. One guy told me, he said, he was in Lagos. He came and said, you know, Lagos is rough. You struggle to get a Range Rover and you have not eaten today. Unika and but uti jem. Beta. Better. then buy something smaller and invest the rest and you'll be eating every day. That's not true. Somebody one time bought a car, couldn't AC, and he got his assistant into the car. He said, roll up. There's no AC, but roll up to impress that it's an AC car. That long time. You know? So we have to see something. No. Tell yourself, I need to be somebody. Praise God. Tell yourself, I need to be somebody. Praise God, somebody. And you're happy with yourself. Praise God, somebody. Chapter 6, Galatians. Let's see something there. We read it last week. Let's read it again. Flourishing. Hallelujah. Chapter 6. Look at verse 3. For if anyone thinks himself to be something, when he's nothing that thing, he deceives himself. See that? I will have a me. I want to achieve. I want to go on. I want to determine. You know, some people, they look as if they own the bank. Oh, my bank manager, my bank. And they are hooing. When I can talk about bank, you get what I'm saying? So I told myself years ago, I'm going to sanctify myself to be among those ones who own the bank, not the one that bank is owning. I'm not going to be the one that looks rich. I'm going to be the one that's rich. Are you hearing me? Praise God. Are you here? When it's nothing that pays, this is himself. Look at next verse. But let each one examine his own work. And then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. There's something about being happy with your life. That is not that, because even when this happens spiritually, look at that Pharisee. The Pharisee went to prayer. He said, God, I'm not like that one. Hallelujah. I want to make some sense today. Give us this verse in Message Bible. And I love it the way he put it. Verse 3. Okay. If you think you are, let's go to the next verse to make it clearer quickly. Make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given. See, what you be and what you do. Flourishing and fruitful. And then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. Hallelujah. Some people, they come to church, they're looking at dresses. They're looking at shoes. They're looking at cars. But come to church for God to show yourself to you. And you can get better from there. Nothing makes our life more difficult than when we just don't focus on our own thriving and flourishing. Have I made some sense today? Now, let's go a step further. I want to show you how to start where you are. You see, every one of us over here, we are given different starts. Are you hearing me? Different starts. We all don't have the same starts. And God just helped me to see this one. Let's go to Matthew 8. Come and see Matthew 8. Starts. Start up. All right. Look at verse 8 thereabout. Okay. Let's start from verse 5. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him. What was he doing with him? Pleading with him. That what? Saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. See this soldier talking to Jesus? The next verse, Jesus said to him, I'll come and heal him. Now, please, see something over here. This man came to Jesus. My servant is paralyzed at home. Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. But you see, something happens to him. He kept on improving and flourishing and changing himself. He kept on looking at what he's doing. And look at next verse. So then I said to Jesus, Lord, I'm not worried that you should come under my roof. I've gotten my desire. But don't come yet. But only speak a word and my servant will be healed. Now wait. Can you see the graduation? Lord, my servant is paralyzed at home. Then he said, No, don't worry. Don't come. He said, you come. No, don't come. Does that happen to you in your own life? Do you visit what you are asking God, or you've been asking the same thing in the last 20 years. Let's go on. This is where I'm going. He gave this series, I'm a man of authority. He started applying. Next verse. Look at what happened. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith." Remember, great branches of that tree? He brought out another greater branch. Now, this is where I'm going. Look at next verse. Everybody look at this verse. "I say to you that many will come from where? From east and west and sit down with who? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Where? Now, can you look up, everybody? Just like spiritually, we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are in heaven. They are spirits. Are you hearing me? The Father God is a spirit. Jesus is a spirit. Holy Ghost is a spirit. So they are our goal spiritually. But at the same time, listen, everybody. God gave us three people also here on earth for us to also look at our lives. You listening? He gave us Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to look at our lives and use them as our standard and look at their lives and see how to grow our life. Pastor, are you serious? Isaiah 51. Take a look. Verse 1. Can you look up, everybody? Look at this verse. "Listen to me. You who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord." Now, what did he say next? "Look to the rock from which you are cut out and to the hole of the pit from which you are dug." God is saying, look back to the rock. What's the rock? Sodeke family. Not Sodeke. Not something. What's the rock? Look at next verse. "Look to Abraham." Who? Your father. "And to Sarah, who bore you. For I called him alone, and I blessed him and increased him." You know why God put the story of Abraham? All the story of Adam, our first man in the Bible, took only about 2 or 3 chapters. Are you hearing me? God started with the story of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Why did he focus so much on these three? God was giving them as example on earth that we can look at. You see, we have example in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. But on the earth, he gave us Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those are the roots that we are connected with. Do you hear me? So, you can actually go to Abraham. Father Abraham has many sons. So, we can actually look up and watch Abraham's life. If you are going through anything you want upgrading, look at Abraham's life. Look at Isaac's life. Look at Jacob's life. Joseph is also part of that family of Jacob. You can look at it. I must say, Pastor, can Solomon marry many wives? Check up Jacob. You see how it runs out. So we have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Many of you are looking for role models. They are the best role models. They have, God took their life to explain to us how you can have your life getting better, whether ups and downs. Even if you find yourself in the worst place in the world, like Joseph in prison, God said you can still come because you belong to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These are the roots of our Christianity. In fact, listen, I don't have time. So let's do this. Let's go. Romans 11. Glory to Jesus. Let's find it. Glory to God. Okay, let's go. I hope this will make some sense to us. Verse 11. You know, the reason why God put aside the Jews, I want to show you. Now, this is a little bit complicated, but follow me. "I say then," talking about the Jews, "have they stumbled that they should fall?" You know, God stopped working with the Jews now with us. Am I right? "Certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, Salvation has come to who? We that are not Jews. Let's keep reading. Now, if they fall, what is it? It's the riches for the world. And their failure, riches for the Gentiles. How much more their fullness coming back? Oh, wait. So, when Jesus went off and put them aside, he brought us in. To what? Let's keep reading. For I speak to you as much as I'm Gentiles, and as much as I'm an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. Oh, so, we read it in NLT. It's easier in NLT. This one sounds really so high. Give us an NLT from verse. Where do we start again now? Okay. Yeah, this is better. Did God's people, Israel, stumble and fall beyond recovery? Of course not. They were disobedient. So God made salvation available to the Gentiles. But he wanted his own people to become jealous and claim it for themselves also, the salvation. Let's keep reading. Now, if the Gentiles were enriched, oh, see that word. Praise God, somebody. Tell the neighbor, you are enriched. If the Gentiles were enriched because the people of Israel turned down God's offer of salvation, think how much more greater a blessing the world will share when they finally accept it, going back to God. Look at next verse. This is where I'm going. I'm saying all this especially for you Gentiles. God has appointed me as the apostle to the Gentiles. I stress this. Let's go on. Now, for I want somehow to make people of Israel jealous of what you Gentiles have, so I might save some of them too. Let's keep reading. Now follow now. For since their rejection meant what? That God offered salvation to the rest of the world. Their acceptance will even be more wonderful. It will be life for those who are dead. Let's keep reading. Now follow now. This is where I'm going. And since Abraham and the other patriarch, Isaac and Jacob, were holy, their descendants will also be holy. Even physically speaking. Just as the entire batch of Dao, although it's holy, because the person given as an offering is holy. Now, listen now. For if the roots, who is the roots? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Patrick. If the roots of the tree are holy, the branches will be too. So, he's saying this, that these roots, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they were the roots, and the branches were the Jews, right? Right? Let's keep reading. Now, follow now. But some of these branches from Abraham's tree, some of the people of Israel have been broken off. And you Gentiles who were branches from wild olive tree have been grafted in. Oh, you got that now? So actually, we've been grafted into Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Oh, boy. So now, you also receive the blessing God has promised Abraham and his children. Sharing. Look at it. Mark it. Sharing in the rich nourishment from the roots of God's special olive tree. We are branches there. Can you clap your hands for Jesus? Amen. So, that's why this will remove, I'm from Sudeke family. I'm from Kenika family. You know, we don't prosper there. No, we are in the better roots now. We are now connected. Not to Sagam, but to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Praise God, somebody. My root is in God's special olive tree. So we read some more before we leave here. Let's read the next verse. But you must not brag about being grafted in to replace the branch that were broken off. You are just a branch, not the roots. Are you hearing me? Okay, so we are now part of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, listen to this. Are we here? I should be stopping soon. So start. Can you read today? We read some before, at least. I want us to read today before we leave here. Now, are we here? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are our best pictures. So we live long or live short. Look at Abraham, look at Isaac, look at Jacob. So we prosper in life. Look at Abraham, look at Isaac, look at Jacob. As a wife, look at Sarah, look at Rebecca, look at their wives. Are you hearing me? Do you know that all these three men suffered barrenness? They faced life in a raw form. They had issues. And God helped them. Praise God, somebody. By the way, they didn't have too many children. Abraham had two. Isaac had two. No rekwete. Are you hearing me? Jacob was forced to have many. It's not his fault. It's Laban. His uncle has created all that trouble for him. Actually, Rabin's firstborn would have been Joseph. His firstborn would have been Joseph. Huh? Abraham had more later, after the woman is gone now. I mean, not when she was there. You see, they had, but they, what I'm saying is that they live such a life that is gorgeous. I want you to make it a study. Read Genesis 12 to Genesis 50. You know why God gave us Joseph's life? You know why? He gave us Joseph's life for those of us today who are living in the cities to know how to live. So, actually, Joseph was an urban person from the village. Became an urban. But let's leave that alone. So, we have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, I said, I'm talking about being fruitful. Am I right? And flourishing. Am I right? Am I right? Am I right? Now, let's look at Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let's look at their stats. If you look at Abraham, he was big already. He was big. Abraham, before he met the Lord, he was a moon worshiper. He was worshiping moon in all of the Chaldees. His father's name was Terah. You know the name of Terah? Delay. His father's name was Delay. His brother died, left a son behind called Lot. Can you just imagine the kind of life Abraham was finding himself in? His father name's Delay. His brother died. His wife's barren. But he says something that God has a place for him. Praise God, somebody. Tell yourself, God has a place for me. Now, I know it's heaven, but here, God has a place for you. We're looking at their lives. We're looking at fruitful and flourishing. So let's look at Abraham now. Look at Abraham. But Abraham was already a big man when God called him. Genesis 12. Come and see. Hallelujah. When God said he should follow him, what did he do? Come and see this. Hallelujah. Are we here? God called him, verse 1 and 2 and 3. Now verse 4, after God finished calling him, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Wow. 70 what? I was a pastor. I'm getting older. There's no hope for me. There's hope for you. In our world today, the older you get, the more they put you aside. It's called retirement. But God came to call the man 75. How retired can you get at 75? How retired? Now, look at next verse. Everybody look at next verse. Then Abraham took Sarah, his wife, Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, departed to go to the land of Canaan. So the kingdom of Canaan. Now look at Abraham. Look at Abraham. He had some means. He had some people. He had some resources. Because God called him, he didn't leave them behind. Are you hearing me? Can I say this to you? You're being born into this world. You're growing up in a particular place. Your lifestyle, your parents, God was watching all that. God was formulating your life. God was taking you somewhere. God knew that one day you'll come to the gospel. And this background will be a background for you to shift from and move forward. So Abraham, worshiping idol, worshiping the moon in his father's area, God had a plan for him. One thing I don't want to forget, that God has a plan for you. And that plan is not to destroy you, it's to bless you. Are you hearing me, somebody here? That plan is to lift you, not to downcast you. So even if you come, see, many of us, when we come to Christ, some of us, we come out brilliant, we come out strong. Some of us, we are well-to-do, we are creative. When you come to Christ, he's not going to diminish you. Like Abraham. So I'm going to make you more fruitful. I'm going to increase you. And then God began to put his finger on one thing Abraham was lacking. He was, what? Barren. Other areas were doing well. God said, you know what? I'm going to make you father of many nations. Anybody, are you here today? That's your place of weakness. That's your place of pain. That's your place of failure. God said, you will flourish there. Well, We can see it in Abraham. Where you think nothing will happen to me. See, don't ever compare your past to where you are going with God. You see, if you do that all the time, you will never go forward. Nobody drives a car looking at the rear view mirror. You won't move. You must always look forward where you are. I used to talk about example a lot. You know, he came out, went to Lanturu, walked there. I mean, Lanturu, you can't pass an exam like that. You walk all the time. They walk you to death. But he told himself, I'm going to lose exam over here. I have something. Pastor, thank you for all you are saying. I had testimony. Okay, what is God's plan for me? Can I give you a summary? Let me give you a summary that it always, this summary always works. You know it now. 29 Jeremiah verse 11. You stop there today. On Abraham. 29 verse 11, Abraham. I said, Abraham. Jeremiah. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Give us an NLT. Hallelujah. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster. See, God never planned disaster for you. So stop trying to connect something to escape disaster. You know, don't think that, hey, you can't like mommy in the low low mo. Hey, no, don't ever think like that. And that's why you're doing crazy things with your life. That's why you're lying. That you're going, no. God said, my plans for you are not for disaster, but for good. You're not coming down. You hear me? You're going to have to embrace this. Don't look at your circumstances. You're not going to flourish and fruitful if you keep looking back. Can you imagine rain is coming now? Can you imagine the trees saying to themselves, oh, it was dry last time. It was really dry. It will be dry. It will not be dry, man. It will be dry. It's dry, oh. It's dry. Ah, man, February was tough. You know, you have to get away from February and start bringing forth green leaves again. It's raining. Tell somebody beside you. It's raining. God's hours of blessing are all around you. Praise God, somebody. Hallelujah. Look forward. Look bigger. Look greater. God has plans for you. He said, my plans for you, they are for good and not for disaster. To give you a future and to give you a hope. You know the meaning of that? I will give you good things and I'll give you time for it to enjoy it. Praise God, somebody. Hallelujah. I'll give you. See, somebody was a pastor. You know, it's taking too long. No, you have a future. Praise God. Can you imagine 75 years old? God telling me, I will make you. You're the father of many nations. Lagomelu. If it's 23 now, we can say, I'll be married better. Am I right? God said, can you imagine? What a crazy kind of God. A man old, is barren. God said, come out. And he said, look up. And see star. And he saw stars. He saw thousands of stars. And God said, so shall your children be. You know what I'll do? I said, God, erele. Can you lift up your hands? Say, Father, thank you. I embrace your plan. I don't know all that is in it, but I know your plans are for good of my life, not for disaster. That's a hope and that's a future for me. I embrace that. In the face of my circumstances, in the face of all the insufficiencies around me, in the face of all the evils and disasters around me, in the face of all the disasters, I say that your plans for me is for good, not for disaster. I embrace that. I receive that. Like Abraham, I welcome it. I will depart from this place tonight according to your word, that you have a plan for me to give me a future and a hope. I take hold of that future and that hope no matter what I find myself in. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Hallelujah. So we are looking at Abraham. He was rich and he came to. God called him. Next week we'll see Isaac. We'll see Jacob. We'll see Jacob in the midst of bad employer. And God said, I will make you this way. So wherever you find yourself, God has plans for your life. And also you can flourish and be fruitful there. Even in prison. Praise God. All right? Let's stop now. Sister Chemist will read today. We are reading the book. I hope you can find the book. Can you remember where we stopped? Sister Kemi will remember. You remember now? Chapter 2. Chapter 2. All our sisters remember things very well. Sister Mujitu, they remember things very well. We boys, we try. All right, great. Let's go. What's today's topic? Okay. Is this the one? Okay. Give us the title first, so we go from there. Thank you.
Good evening, church. Chapter 2. Be sure the promises of God cover the things you ask for. Foundation for faith. Be sure the scriptures cover what you are believing for. Do not get out beyond God's word. Through the years, many people have come to me saying something similar to this. Brother Egin, I want you to pray with me about this. I purposely asked them, what scriptures are you standing on? 8 out of 10 times, and I kept a record of it for years. They looked at me with a blank expression and said, well, not any in particular. I said, that's what you will get, nothing in particular. You have no foundation for faith. Faith is based on what God said. Faith in God is faith in God's word. Many times we use terms loosely. Recognize that when we talk about faith, we are talking about faith in God, and faith in God is faith in his word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. You are not going to have faith for something if you do not hear the word of God on it. Recognize and realize that. Find scriptures that cover your case. Find the scripture that promise you the things you are praying for. Then you have a solid foundation for faith. If something arises, even though I know the scriptures which apply and can quote many of them, I do not pray about the matter immediately. I go to the word, I read again the same scriptures I could quote, I go over them and over them and over them, sometimes for a day or two. Now, if an emergency arises, that's a different thing. I go over them again and again and again. In doing that, I am building the word of God into my spirit consciousness. Then, when I get ready to act in faith, there is no doubt I am solid. I do not want to attract attention to myself. I tell this to glorify God and his word. Not one single time in more than 50 years have I had a prayer go unanswered. Now you understand I am talking about things concerning myself individually. When you are praying about someone else, their will enters in. As far as me individually, I never prayed about anything without getting it. Sometimes it will take a little time. I just prayed in the word every moment I could. I would meditate for hours on the scriptures that covered what I was believing for. Then I believed only that. I had a sure foundation for faith. Sometimes I had to make adjustments before the answer could manifest. I made them in a hurry. For instance, in 1949, I left the last church I pastored and went out into a field ministry at the Lord's direction. At the end of my first year of traveling, I spent 3 days fasting and praying about it. I reminded the Lord of something he said in the Old Testament. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Isaiah 1:19. That scripture belongs to us too. We can prove from the New Testament that we fell heir to it. It means that you will prosper and have things good. It does not mean you will never have any test, because the devil will put pressure on you. I told the Lord, Lord, my children are not even eating right. I've worn out my car. Now I'm about here on the field on foot. I'm sure not eating the good of the land, yet you promised that. Something is wrong somewhere. I knew the trouble was with me. The problem is never with God. The third day of my fast, just as plainly as somebody speaking, the Lord said, that text you keep quoting to me says, if you be willing and obedient, you were obedient, but you were not willing. You do not qualify. That is the reason it is not working for you. I kept trying to magnify the obedience part. It got on the willing part. You can actually obey the Lord just like a child can obey his parents and not be willing and miss it. I got willing in 10 seconds. Don't tell me it takes a long time. It didn't take me 10 seconds to make a little adjustment right down on the inside. Then I said, Lord, I'm ready now. You already told me that I was obedient. Now I am willing. I know it. You know it. And the devil knows it. So I'm ready now to start eating the good. He said, yes, you are. Yes, you are. Now I will tell you what to do. He told me, and I've been eating the good ever since. Walking in the light, the psalmist of old said, the entrance of thy word giveth light. Psalm 119, verse 130. The entrance of God's word gives light. When there is light in a room, it is no problem at all to walk around in it. But with all the light out on a dark night, you may stumble and fall over objects in that room. As long as the light is there, you can walk fine. The entrance of his word gives light. The reason many fall and fall is because they have left the light of the word of God. They are walking in presumption or folly. What does God's word say? Too many answer. Well, I don't know. Find out what it says. Find the scriptures that promise you the things you are praying for. You are always on safe ground when you are on the scriptures. When you get away from them, you are in a gray area. Some people want to step over into the dark, and whether or not the word of God promises it, they say, I'm just going to believe. Believing God is believing his word. Oh, how necessary it is to know the word of God. Thank God, he has given us his word. We need not to be in the dark. The entrance of his word gives light. What does it mean to walk in the light? It means to walk in the world. Walking in the world is walking in the light. To walk away from the world means to walk into darkness. Confession. Say this loud. Please, let's say it together. I am a believer. I am not a doubter. I do have faith. My faith works. My faith is in God the Father. My faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. My faith is in the Holy Bible, the Word of God. God's Word is true. I believe the Word of God. Therefore, I believe God. God's words work.
Can we stop there? That's the last thing about that. Thank you very much, Dr. Kevin. Beautiful. What a wonderful, wonderful thing, this book. Praise God. Now, can you see that God's plan, his promises, we can always... The shocking thing for me is that I've said this over the years, that people don't really use their Bible well. They only read it for devotion and put it there. It's to be what you need to quote to God, to remind God his word. Like your kid will say, Daddy, you said you pay my school fees today. And they come to you because you said so. So the same way, we just need to take this. Remember that whatever you are praying for, let there be the word of God clarifying things for you. Wow. You know why I read books like this, particularly from Kenneth Hagin? is only among the few people who talk to people as God's children and as Christians. A lot of pastors talk from their own anointing. You know, he could have said, you know, if you just send something to me, I just pray for you now. But he will show you how to go to your father and then lay hold of the blessing of God. It's really, really wonderful to learn this so that you can do it yourself at home. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How many of you are praying for something in your life? You are praying for something in your life now. You are praying for something. Now, can you go back and get the word of God on it? And just spend time on it. Just look at that word. Look at that word. Meditate on it. Allow it to walk through you. And think about it again. And talk it to God. And say, God, you said this. And I'm relying on it from your hand. And don't let anything else bog your mind. That's where the problem is. Whatsoever I do shall prosper. Whatever I do, my mind will say, you think so? No, you read it again. Praise the Lord. And those days, we couldn't carry Bible like this. God has made it so easy now. You have a phone. You can mark, earmark, color it, and just keep it. You can even make it your screen. What do you call it now? Huh? Saver. You know, saver, screen saver. You can put it over there. Just put that verse there. Just to remind you all the time. My wife will cut it on paper, put it in the bedroom, in the toilet, so she can see that over and over and over again. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go home. Let's give our offering. It's been a wonderful time today. So, let's sing the song. Abraham's blessings are mine. Abraham's blessings are mine. I am blessed in the morning. I am blessed in the evening. Abraham's blessings are mine. Let's give. Let's give. Are we giving already? Okay, we don't have so many ushers. Please help us become ushers. Okay, ushers are coming up. Thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Yeah, know how the song is saying? It is a great thing to serve Jesus. It is a great thing to serve Jesus. It is a great thing to serve the Lord, walking in the light. Also, we know the meaning of walking in the light now, to find the word of God and live in the light of it. Oh, walk, 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 walking in the light. Oh, walk, 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 walking in the light. Oh, walk, 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 walk. Praise the Lord. They have not given there, so help us with them. You know, those days in an IVG, when we start sleeping, that song would change to, oh, jump, jump, jump. So they make us, all of us, awake. All right, great. Thank you so much for being around. It's just lovely to be here tonight. It's just beautiful. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Wow. Let's go home. As we go home, let's open Isaiah 51 again. Isaiah 51. As you hear, as you see, as you read, don't forget this. 51 verse 1. Isaiah 51 verse 1. Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness. You who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you are in and to the hole of the pit from which you are dug. Next verse. Let's sing together, everybody. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For I called him alone, blessed him, and increase him. Tell yourself, the Lord is blessing me. The Lord is increasing me. By the way, I like this. God didn't call me along with Nigeria. He didn't call me along with Abeokuta. He called me alone. And he can take care of me. Praise God, somebody. Get up on your feet. Let's go home. Praise God. So wherever I go, he can still bless me alone. You do it. Hallelujah. Can you take your neighbor's hand and just pray for that person to see God's plan, hallelujah, to see God's promises. Oh, can you just pray for that person that God will keep on widening his scope, enlarging his territory. That the light of the word of God will shine upon all those dark areas. Let's pray. That the blessing of God, like Abraham's life, the blessing of God will increase and overtake. Thank you, Father. We bless your name. We give you glory and honor. I tell him, the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord watch over you, the Lord minister his blessing and his peace to you every level. In Jesus' name. Let's share the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God. Amen. Have a wonderful, wonderful night. Thank you for coming. God bless you. Real good.